If you have more karmic obstacles, then you will be born into a relatively low level in the Pure Land. If you have less karmic obstacles, then you'll be born into a higher level. And when you completely remove the karmic obstacle, then you become Buddha and no different than Amitabha. Pure Land's practice. When we chant Amitabha name, our heart need to be with Amitabha. And we need to make vows sincerely as Amitabha has made. And our actions and activities need to be in proper correspondence with what Amitabha Buddha does. And this is actually Vajrayana Buddhism's teaching. The three proper responses in the mind, in the heart, in the actions. Therefore, we need to follow and actively and sincerely put into practice of what described in the Infinite Life Sutra. With that kind of attitude, then chanting Amitabha, you will be truly corresponding to the heart of Amitabha. It is not chanting Amitabha while and yet the mind is still scattering around. We must make the 48 great vows as our individual or personal vows. Truly thinking this way, then chanting Amitabha will be truly remove all kinds of sins and karmic obstacles. The number 5 great vow of the Universal Goodness Bodhisattva Mahasattva is to join others' virtues and merits. This practice is to deal with the inherent jealousy that was with us since time without beginning. Take a look at the children. When one child take more candies than other children, then other children will become jealousy about this child who took too much. So this is a concrete evidence showing that jealousy is part of our nature and it is inherent. So this virtue is to teach us to see other people's good part and enjoy other people's good deeds, virtues. And not only to tolerate, but to encourage and to help others to accomplish their good deeds. If we do not have the capability, money, or strength to help others achieve their good deeds and virtues, we need to join them with our heart. Only through this, we can eventually accomplish our own spiritual achievement. We must first be patient with other people's progress and not jealous. And then we need to even further to help others and wish others to become spiritually achieved better than us. The karmic consequence of jealous and not willing to spread teaching to others, or you spread teaching but not 100%, maybe 90%, then the karmic consequence is to become very stupid in next life. And if one do not want to share material things with other people due to stinginess, then the karmic consequence is to be born in next life in a very poor family. The Chinese costume has its teaching and meaning behind it. Very interesting. The high rank officers or officers, the ancient costume, the head is flat in the front, and then the second part in the back of the above the head is higher than the front part, which means he wishes. The generation of the future time is doing better than the current time. Better in virtue, better in capability, better in material life, and better than us. Others to be better than me, future generation to be better than the current generation. With that intention in mind, the ancient Chinese hats were created. As far as the emperor's hat, it is flat on top, which is symbolizing that emperor supposed to approach to all the subordinates and the people with a mind of equanimity, no discrimination. So from this question, we see the meaning of the teaching appear in the costume. In the area of spreading Buddha Dharma and teaching students and sharing with friends, we need to have this kind of realization and try to help others and wish others sincerely to be better than us in spiritual achievement. Because as we can see, the world is declining. It will be very difficult to teach future generations. So when we teach or help our friends and students, we should be truly wish their spiritual achievement is higher than us, so that they have greater wisdom, capability, and greater compassion to deal with the generation of greater trouble. Therefore, this number five vow is to join other people's virtues and merits. The number six great vow of universal goodness, Bodhisattva's teaching, is request the turning of Dhamma wheel. Request the turning of Dhamma wheel. If one obtain the true benefit from the Buddha Dharma and thinking how to pay back the kindness of the teaching of the teachers. And therefore, we make food offering, we make all kinds of offering before Buddha statue or Bodhisattva statue. This is really a reminder. To remind us we need to return. But those material we made offer to Buddha and Bodhisattva are not enough for true return of their kindness. The true return of Buddha and Bodhisattva's teaching and teacher's teaching is to fulfill their good wishes. And their good wishes are to save all sentient beings and teach them with Buddha Dharma. Save them from samsara forever. If we can do things in that line, then we are truly returned their kindness. Therefore, to request turning the Dharma wheel by inviting a teacher to come to the local area is a Dharma offering to benefit sentient beings of that area. Therefore, the person who requests the teacher to come has great virtue. There are also other type of virtue, such as somebody passed away and you chant the sutra to bless their soul to be born in a better place. That has great virtue. But to invite a teacher and provide a teaching and wake people up so people will put into practice what the teaching was, that virtue is even greater and is inconceivable. Today, not many teachers can provide teachings, and therefore it's difficult to find a teacher that we truly enjoy and truly benefit. I said this was a complaint or comment made by a Buddhist friend, and I told him to be able to invite a good teacher to come to your area and provide a teaching is a good karmic result. In order to enjoy such a good karmic result, you need to plant a good karmic seed. If you invite an old Dharma teacher and feel very happy about it because good teaching is now provided by an experienced teacher. And the younger one, you don't have much respect, you think they are inexperienced, you do not invite them. Then you are not creating a good karmic seed for yourself, for the future benefit of able to listen to the teaching and also share the teaching with others in your neighborhood. Therefore, it is important to also cultivate the younger Dharma teachers and monks so that they will be able to provide teachings to future generations. But to encourage them and support them in developing skills and knowledge to provide teachings, it is different from providing compliments. You just give them the praise and compliments that can really bring a lot of damage to him or the younger monk or teacher. Because you make him feel that his teaching is wonderful, he will then stop and satisfied. You need to come and encourage his teaching and listen to his teaching, so make him feel that he need to provide continuous teaching and provide continuous self-growth. And another thing important to encourage and help the spiritual growth of the young monk and young teachers is do not make too much offerings to him or her. If we make excessive offering, we will pull him downward, and if karmic consequence into the lower realms, that you, if involved, are responsible for that. When can you give a compliment to a teacher or monk? It is when the per teacher or monk has reached the stage of unmoving mind. The mind is not moving. Then you can praise him and not harm him. And through your praise and good words for this teacher, that attract more attention to other people, and more people will come close to the teacher, listen to the teaching, and benefit thereafter. In the Chinese Buddhism, there's like a proverb. It says, just one single piece of rice offered from a donor, it is as huge and greater, taller than a mountain mule. If the person receives such offering, even just one drop of rice, and not enlightened, then in the future life, he needs to return people's offering and become animals. Therefore, it is really not easy and not qualified to receive people's offering. But on the other hand, people come with good intention to offer to you. It's also an opportunity for them to plant good Dharma seed of generosity and so on and so forth. So the best way out of this would be accept their offerings by turn around, donate out, and do good merits for them. I remember the famous Pure Land teacher, Ying Guang, Da Shi. He will not accept disciples, but he will provide refugee ceremonies to people in writing, through mail. And then in return, then those become the Buddhists. Through this method, are grateful and they will mail money back to him or any material offers. He personally is very frugal and very humble. But still, he accepts these offerings not for himself, but to establish a sutra printing society. Therefore, he used the money and our material offering wisely to create even more greater merit for those who sent the offering to him. I follow this example. Do accept offerings and donations, but not for myself, but turn around and publish many Buddhism books with your offering, your money. Therefore, I know I'm not scared to become, to return your kindness and your offering in next lifetime as animal. Another offering one must be careful about is donation to help build a temple. When the temple is established, must have people truly cultivate and truly promote Buddha Dharma. If it's not done that way, then the establishment of the temple becomes a place of future arguments or egoistic fighting place. That's why my teacher, Mr. Dibinan, he said, at the time of building a temple, in the beginning, everybody are Bodhisattva. When the temple is established, everybody become Asura. So to offer money and donation to build temple, one must be extremely careful. To make offering to monks also should be very careful. According to the sutra, the necessary offering to a monk, only four items: food, clothes, and medicine in case the teacher becomes ill. At the time of illness, he needs medicine, and also the necessary blanket so that he can cover his body in sleep. If you make this minimum offering, you will be able to help the monk and teacher maintain his pure mind. But unfortunately, nowadays there are many disciples, they offer the house, big building house to the monks, and some very excellent enjoyment of facilities inside the building or house. It's so well, so enjoyable, that the monk forgot that he needs to go to Western Pure Land. He would rather stay in that house with best facility. You see, the monk already left home. Now you pull him back and get him stuck in the home. And that's all because we do not understand the meaning of offering. We thought we are kind and generous. Instead, we did wrong thing. And we are also responsible for the teacher's failing into materialistic life. So to cultivate, offering and donation, it takes wisdom. Other teacher probably will not disclose this completely, or don't even bother to mention it. Because if they do speak out the truth, their offering will drastically reduce. Since I'm going to the Pure Land, I don't care about offering, so I share the truth with you. And all your donations received by me, I turn around and give to the Sutra Publication Society in Taiwan. The more offering I receive, the more books I print. As a matter of fact, I have to select the proper sutra to print. If there is less offering, I simply print less. But if there is no offering, I just save myself a lot of trouble without any printing. So, when the mind is not seeking for fame and material reward, then the mind will be able to maintain its purity. And that is the Dharma heart. And we also need to help others, particularly in these examples, the monks and teachers, to maintain their pure hearts, a pure mind. That is true offering in accordance with Dharma. The home living monks and nuns, they are supposed to feel the suffering and live in a very minimum materialistic life, and then they can have spiritual achievements. In the ancient time, the system is the ancient monks, they will travel from one place to another, they only eat one meal a day, they only stay under the tree no more than three nights. They live that minimum materialistic life. So when we see a teacher or monk is living in minimum material life, we should have respect to him, but not pity, and then give him enjoyable life. We must not pull him back, but support him in a wise manner. And then, when a teacher becomes rich spiritual achievement, enlightenment or realization, be able to spread Buddha Dhamma, then we can enjoy our wise donation and proper encouragement of supporting the teacher. Then you'll be able to enjoy all the good teachings in the future. Start with proper encouragement, proper support of young monks in a wise manner. The request of turning Dhamma wheel can help sentient beings plant the good karmic seed in the Dhamma, but cannot help sentient beings to reach achievement in one lifetime. Because just by listening to several sessions of a teaching, can one become enlightened? It is impossible in today's world. It is possible in ancient time though. Therefore, the next great vow follows the request of Dhamma wheel is to request residing on earth, Buddha's residing on earth. Only if Buddha or Bodhisattva reside on earth and approach to sentient beings in the physical form for a longer time, then the sentient beings will be able to benefit and cultivate and eventually reach achievements. I remember one day my teacher, Mr. Li Pingnan, he asked all the students, "Why don't you all tell me what's your personal wishes in the area of serving Buddha Dhamma?" And I answered, "My dream is that one day I will be able to travel around the world and spread Buddha Dhamma." He said, "That is good. However, that's only doing some promotion sales. Promotion. You can benefit yourself, but not truly benefit the sentient beings. You see, my teacher, Mr. Li Pingnan, he stayed in Taichung, middle center part of Taiwan Island, for 40 some years. And he has provided all kinds of teachings and physical demonstration of Dhamma practice. And there are numerous disciples has reached spiritual achievements. But to reside in one place and practice with the local people together for a longer time, it takes very special karmic connections and karmic relationship. For a person like me traveling around and provide itinerary teachings, the karmic connection is there and is wide, but it's not deep. It helped myself tremendously, but not tremendously to the sentient beings, because I only spend less time with you. Not enough. But to me, I did receive tremendous benefit, because I moved from one hotel to another, from one house to another. I'm truly homeless monk, and I do realize that through my constant traveling year around. So in order to truly benefit sentient beings, to practice and to become enlightened, one needs to request the Buddha to reside on earth. But Buddha has passed away, so we need to request Buddha's disciple, the true disciple, the true teachers, the gurus, to stay with us on a longer term. Then the local people will be benefited due to his personal presence. However, there are some other details we need to know how to properly request residing on earth of a true teacher for a longer time. We must dedicate all our mind and effort to help the teacher to stay here. And a true teacher usually is very easy to take care of. They don't have much materialistic need. However, the place the teacher stays, or maybe a temple, need to be built large and looks very auspicious. Not for the sake of the teacher or ourselves, but for the sake of creating a very good image to other new friends, so they may think there must be some great master in this temple, because temple is so large and so auspicious. For that reason, the temple needs to be established very proper for the sake of saving other beings. Take a look at those big temples in mainland China. The temple are huge inside, but when you visit the dormitory where the emperor stays, very small. So you see for themselves, it's very small and even tiny. But for the main hall, it's huge, not only to convenient the practices, but also to create a good image to the general public. Only through the understanding of the details, how to request the teacher to stay on one place for a longer time, then the roots will be planted, and eventually flower comes out, and we can enjoy the fruits. The first seven vows of the Universal Goodness Bodhisattva Mahasattva are the Bodhisattva's vows to help sentient beings. The last three, the number 8, number 9, and number 10 vows are basically dedication, merit dedication. The number 8, it is to always follow Buddha as an example. We need to follow the best example, which is Buddha, and not sacrifice our criteria or standard. Number 9 is to always satisfy sentient beings, all sentient beings. This is very difficult. In the Chinese tradition, we talk about filiality, filial. That word actually has two parts. One is to be nice to the parents, and followed by satisfy the parents, make them happy. So to be able to satisfy all sentient beings is to expand our filiality to an extreme state and treat all sentient beings as our parents. In doing the satisfying of all sentient beings, one will be able to observe and skillfully direct sentient beings into proper Dharma practice. And in doing so, it takes wisdom, skillful means, and patience. Number 10, great vow, is universal dedication of all merits. No matter what kind of merit, no matter how small the merit is, we need to dedicate that to all sentient beings to reach the highest, outermost bodhicitta, or Buddha, Bodhi, or enlightenment. So in conclusion, for the Pure Land School, the sutra we use are the 5 sutras and one main discussion. And the content of Pure Land practice are items we covered previous few nights. That's 3 virtues, 6 harmonies, and 3 procedures in practice, 6 paramitas, and 10 great vows. And the actual practice is chanting Amitabha. If one can understand this and put into practice sincerely, then one are bound to reach spiritual achievements. If 10,000 people follow the same principle and sincerely do it, then 10,000 people are bound to be born into the Pure. So far, we have covered the theoretical basis of Dharma practice, and also covered the key essence or key points of practices in daily life. And now we're going to cover the methods of teaching and its skillfulness. If one do not know the proper technology, it's not easy to achieve spiritual achievement.
Sure.
The great Qingyang master in the Flower Adorned Sutra He said there are four procedures or sequence in cultivating the Buddha Dhamma. Number one, to believe. Number two, to understand. Number three, to practice. Number four, to enter into the state that one originally believed. We talk about the first one, to believe. When the karmic connection fully mature, then one will become a believer. That's why oftentimes it's said Buddha will save those who believe him. Because if the karmic connection is not fully mature, then even Buddha cannot help. Has to wait for the proper time because the person has no faith in Buddha. For Buddhism, it is not just you believe, then you be saved, as other religions.